This morning we're starting a new sermon series called Beyond Sunday, and our statement of faith will give us some of those themes for this six-week series that we're going to be going into today. Would you join me in stating what we believe? We believe that God is the creator and sustainer of all things. God calls us to seek balance between work and rest. We are called to work with purpose and integrity, doing everything to honor God, knowing that labor and rest are both part of God's design. We believe that Jesus came to offer us abundant life. We are called to enjoy life while we love and serve our neighbors, knowing that Jesus himself celebrated life's simple joys and invited us to do the same. We believe the Holy Spirit fills us with contentment and gratitude as we are drawn to worship in spirit and truth, both in our hearts and our actions. As disciples of Jesus, we are invited to be in relationship with God beyond Sunday morning as we seek to follow Jesus in every area of our daily lives. In all things, we are called to live as a reflection of the triune God, balanced in our work and rest, generous and joyful in our relationships, and content and worshipful in our heart. Hear now a reading of the scripture from the third chapter of Colossians. So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up, be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. Put on your new nature. Be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. Whatever you do, do it from the heart for the Lord and not for people. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? O Lord, my God, my rock and my redeemer, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you this day. Amen. Can you believe we're already past the midway point of January? Like, it's 2025 and we're already more than halfway through January. Have you noticed that the days are starting to get longer, finally? It's especially noticeable on Wednesdays when I'm watching the light disappear while all the volunteers are hustling just to keep warm outside. Fun fact, the last two Wednesdays and next Wednesdays are the coldest days of the entire week. Pray for us. I don't know about you, but I'd much rather sweat than freeze. And I'll tell you the same thing in the middle of July. I'm telling you the truth. I would rather be warm than cold. Is there anybody in here who actually enjoys the winter time? Okay, a few of you, but you are the minority. You're the minority. We're starting a new sermon series today called Beyond Sunday, and it's thinking about how everything in our lives can point us towards our walk in faith. So I guess the only good thing about the winter is really the sports. Who likes basketball? I'm the minority, okay. Who likes football? You're the majority. Okay, I asked the kids, who likes Monday? Right, that's the correct answer. Nobody likes Monday. So this sermon series is called Beyond Sunday, and Monday is the first day beyond Sunday. This series is about how we practice our faith, how we follow Jesus in our daily lives, in life's nitty-gritty moments beyond Sunday. Outside of this 1 hour a week when we're gathered here together to worship, when we're here in our best behavior, this series is about the real stuff of life and how we intentionally follow Jesus and seek to honor God with what we say and do. Over the next 6 weeks, we'll be examining how holiness is a part of everything we do, how it's a part of our work, our contentment, our generosity, our fun, our rest, and our worship. Holiness is really God's desire for wholeness in our lives. Holiness is the way we draw close to God and God's ways. It's how we seek the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. This week, though, we're focusing on our work. Work is defined by Google as activity involving mental or physical effort done in order to achieve a purpose or result. Mental or physical effort done in order to achieve a purpose or result. Work is not just the labor we dispense in order to earn an income, though it is that, and in fact, most adults spend over 100,000 hours at their job throughout their lifetime, which is only about 20% of your life. I did some math, and I was really surprised it wasn't more. However, work is all the tasks we do. We can separate out the tasks we do to earn a wage from the tasks that are required by the rest of our lives, but it's all work. Doing laundry is work. Paying the bills is work. Cooking is work. Taking care of the yard is work. Running errands is work. Helping the kids do homework is work. Doing the homework is work. Volunteering is work. Activism is work. Exodus 20 verses 9 and 11 clearly tell us, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Work is required to live, not just to earn an income, but to accomplish anything. Even the most basic necessities in life require work. If you went off-grid and you lived completely off the land, but you never had to pay a bill, you would still have to work. 6 days, we work. On the seventh day, we rest. And we'll hear more about rest and its necessities in another sermon later in this series. Some of the work in our lives is enjoyable. Some of us like to cook. Some of us enjoy folding laundry. And some of it is the absolute last thing we want to do. Maybe you love your job. You feel like it fulfills your purpose. Your coworkers are enjoyable to be around. You enjoy brainstorming and working as a team. Things run efficiently. You get enough time off. You're appreciated by the management. Maybe you like doing yard work because you appreciate the immediate visible improvement and the gratification of a job well done. Or maybe keeping your house neat and clean gives you peace in the midst of a chaotic world. Or maybe your job is the worst. Maybe you never want to get out of bed to go to that place. Maybe you hate dusting and you wish the baseboards would clean themselves. Maybe your kids' math homework just reminds you of all the ways you struggled in school yourself. While work is an inescapable part of life, no matter how we spend our days, we can give glory to God. We can do life differently. We can use the hours of our days to honor God, regardless of what we're doing. Our goal is to do it to the best of our ability, not for the profit of our employer, not to earn a promotion, not even to put food on the table, but to give glory to God. When we think about work, we often think about Mondays, and statistically, at least in this room, it's everyone's least favorite day of the week. Did you know that more heart attacks happen on Monday than any other day of the week? Suicide rates are higher on Monday. 50% of employees are late to work on Monday. On average, people don't crack their first smile on Monday until 11:16 a.m. 3 hours later than every other day of the week. Those are some disturbing facts, some really sad realities. But I think if we focus on the things above, if we seek to be more like Jesus, if we try to make everything we say and do pleasing to God, then we won't fit into those statistics. We'll stand out. We'll be different. We'll be a light shining in the darkness. And if we come in on Monday morning and we're smiling before 11:16 a.m., we're going to make somebody else smile before 11:16 a.m. And this isn't to say that you should pretend everything's okay when it's not. This doesn't mean you should allow yourself to be taken advantage of. This is not toxic positivity. But it is an opportunity to think about a perspective shift. How do we approach our work with God's vision? What would change if you checked your calendar at the beginning of every day and instead of calculating how much time you'll need between one task and the next, you lay each meeting, each item you have on your to-do list, each moment before God and asked God's Spirit to guide you as you interact with people, to listen when your coworker shares something personal, to put yourself in the boss's shoes, to lay whatever conflict or frustration you have before God. And for some of you who are retired, maybe you look at your empty calendar and you think, I have nothing to do. And maybe that's nice, but maybe that's just as frustrating as having too many things to do. Maybe you look at that empty calendar and you think, I don't have a purpose anymore. But there's a moment where you can look at all that time you have and figure out what the next thing you're going to do is and do it for God. Pastor Steve DeWitt wrote, if we go back in history in Western Europe, it was commonly believed that there was sacred work and there was secular work. The sacred work was the work of the monks, the nuns, the priests, and the clergy. These vocations meant life work that inherently pleased God. It could be done for God's glory. In fact, it was the only work that God actually cared about. The shoemaker, the blacksmith, the farmer were destined to spend their whole life working and doing nothing that mattered to God. Something dramatic happened that changed all of it, and we call it the Reformation. In the early 1500s, Martin Luther began teaching sola scriptura. Scripture alone has authority. Sola fide, salvation by faith alone. Sola gratia, salvation by grace alone. This view minimized the importance of the sacred workers because scripture, faith, and grace didn't require priests and nuns. It only required God's Spirit to fill receptive hearts. Listen to how Luther's perspective changed the view of work. A cobbler, a smith, a farmer, each has the work of an office of his trade, and yet they are all alike consecrated priests and bishops. And everyone, by means of his own work or office, must benefit and serve the other. That in this way, many kinds of work may be done for the bodily and spiritual welfare of the community, even as the members of the body serve one another. In Methodist language, through our baptism, we are the priesthood of all believers. Guess what happened as a result of his teaching? The cobbler who used to go to work and think it didn't mean anything now went to work and thought, God cares about my cobbling. The farmer headed to milk the cows and had in his mind, God cares about the way that I do this. I can actually bring pleasure to God. I can milk my cows to the glory of God. What an amazing difference it makes when the gospel infiltrates everything that we do. In fact, Psalm 127 emphasizes this very point. It says, unless it is the Lord who builds the house, the builder's work is pointless. Unless it is the Lord who protects the city, the guard on duty is pointless. It is pointless that you get up early and stay up late eating the bread of hard labor because God gives sleep to those he loves. The psalmist warns the reader that unless God is involved, included, incorporated, invoked, whatever we do is pointless. We can do whatever we want. We can do all kinds of good things. We can work hard. We can earn a good living. We can make sure our kids get to participate in every school activity that we never got to. We can save our money so we can retire comfortably. We can buy a nice house and a new car. We can give to charity and volunteer regularly. These are all good things. These are all things God wants for us and wants us to do. But all our effort is pointless if God is not involved, included, incorporated, invoked. Do you think that the way that you work in the hospital, in the school, at home matters? God cares about your cobbling, your mothering and fathering, your truck driving, your schooling, your service. I love this quote from Martin Luther King Jr. in his sermon on this passage. He wrote, when I was in Montgomery, I went to a shoe shop quite often, known as Gordon's Shoe Shop. And there was a fellow in there that used to shine my shoes, and it was just an experience to witness this fellow shining my shoes. He would get that rag, you know, and he would bring music out of it. And I said to myself, this fellow has a PhD in shoe shining. What I'm saying to you this morning, my friends, even if it falls your lot to be a street sweeper, go on and sweep the streets. Go on out and sweep the streets like Michelangelo painted pictures. Sweep streets like Handel and Beethoven composed music. Sweep streets like Shakespeare wrote poetry. Sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will have to pause and say, here lived a great street sweeper who swept his job well. If you can't be a pine on top of a hill, be a scrub in the valley. But be the best little scrub on the side of the hill. Be a bush if you can't be a tree. If you can't be a highway, just be a trail. If you can't be the sun, be a star. It isn't by size that you win or fail. Be the best of whatever you are. It's not about what our vocation is. It's about our identity. It's about remembering that no matter what we are doing, whether we work 80 hours a week or we're retired, it's about knowing who we are and that what we're doing matters to God. That we are children of God, that we are holy, that we are called to do everything for God's glory in the likeness of Jesus. Last week, before we said the Wesleyan Covenant prayer, I emphasized the power that the church has to basically get you to say whatever I want. I promise to use my power for good. So repeat after me. I am a child of God. This one might be harder, but I promise it's true. Don't say that part. I am holy. You also just proved my point, okay? My work is sacred. We're going to say it again. I am a child of God. I am holy. My work is sacred. Throughout this week, I encourage you to pray through your calendar, whether it's full or it's empty, to give the mundane work of your life a perspective shift, to remember that all the work we do can give glory to God if we look to the things above, if we have God's kingdom in mind while we do it. Tomorrow, our nation pauses to remember the life of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., a man who believed in God's kingdom, reigning on earth as it does in heaven. A man who was a prophet that spoke truth to power and lived like Jesus, seeking to turn the way the world did things upside down with peace and love. This too is our work. Amen. Let us go to God in prayer this morning. Almighty God, we give you thanks for the breath in our lungs, for the hours of the day that we can offer to you, for the actions that we take to do the work that you have called us to. Help us to remember that you are with us as we seek to let each little thing we do be done as if it mattered to you. And God, we repent for the times that we forget, for the times that we complain, for the times that we are unaware of your presence in our work. And God, we lift up those who are too busy, those who are feeling like they're not busy enough, those who are struggling to face Monday. God, as we move into the week beyond Sunday, we ask that you would guide our steps. And we turn now to pray for those who are in need. We lift up Helen, those who have lost everything by flood and by fire, those who don't have a place to worship. And we pray for our country, that the peace and love you have sent to us would overflow. And then we turn our hearts together as we pray the prayer that leads us as the gathering at Scott Memorial. God, help us to gather with you to feed the body, mind, and spirit while being Christ's hands and feet. Help us to love and serve our local community. In Jesus' name we pray.